Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to encourage you to go ahead and email me if you would like to hear a show that we're not going to be doing in the immediate future and haven't done. Just send it to box13 at greatdetectives.net. And you can take a look at all the shows we have done at biglist.greatdetectives.net. And today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the program at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, most of the Johnny Dollar five-parters have been complete or in their present form in terms of completeness for decades. However, today's serial was one where the final episode was not found till sometime in the middle of the last decade. So it's not been heard as often, but let's go ahead and take a listen to today's episode, The Sea Legs Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Johnny. Say, didn't you tell me one time that you're quite a nut about fishing?
What's that?
Pat McCracken at Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Doggone it, you know you spiked my plans for a fishing trip just a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What's on your mind?
Big fish. Real big fish. You ever hear of Douglas R. Lanfear?
Millionaire playboy, sportsman, yachtsman?
That's the one.
Well, didn't I read somewhere that
he
was...
Yeah, you sure did, Johnny, at the bottom of the deep blue sea. And a $400,000 claim has been filed. You interested?
An expense account based on that will be a pleasure.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Sea Legs matter. Expense account item 1, 90 cents, taxi from my apartment to the offices of Universal Adjustment, where Pat McCracken was waiting for me with a handful and a head full of information.
Two claims, Johnny, both filed by Constance Lanfear, the wife. Here are copies of them.
How come two, Pat?
Now, number one is against Douglas Lanfear's life policy with Greater Southwest Life and Casualty Insurance Company, $250,000.
Uh-huh. What's the other?
$150,000 International Maritime Organization for the loss of the Lanfear yacht.
$400,000 claims.
That's right.
Okay, what's the story?
Well, Lanfear was making a trip along the coast of Central America in his yacht, the Sea Legs. He ran onto a rock or something, the boat sank, and he and his crew of one went down with her.
Well, do you have any reason to question the validity of the claim by Mrs. Lanfear?
2.5 years ago, Lanfear himself filed a claim with International Maritime. It seems he lost a power cruiser in exactly the same place, near the Boldaro Islands off the coast of Nicaragua. $85,000.
Total loss?
Happened in a spot where not one bit of the wreck could be salvaged.
Oh. Where'd you learn that?
Local authorities in this small Nicaraguan seaport, and Mrs. Lanfear, she was with him on that trip.
But she wasn't with him on this one, aboard the Sea Legs.
No, or presumably she wouldn't be around to file the claim.
Uh-huh. Where's Constance Lanfear now, Pat?
Home, as far as I know, lives on their small estate on Long Island out near the town of Cachag. You want to call her, talk to her?
No. I think I'll go down there. Item 2, 2120, fare and miscellaneous to Cutchog, Long Island. Item 3, a buck even for a taxi from the little station to the Lanfear estate.
Estate, did you call it, mister?
Well, isn't it?
Well, it used to be. before the Landfear sold off a lot of it.
Oh, that's so?
Yeah, guess there wasn't nothing else they could do to keep up with that high way of living.
Keep talking, fella.
Well, the old man, Landfear's father-in-law, well, he had plenty, I guess. But after he died, all the kids seemed to do was spend it. You know what I mean? Fancy yachts, lots of polo playing, Florida in the winter, Maine in the summer, all that sort of thing. Oh, there's a place now, right up ahead there on the right.
I looked, and what I saw apparently bore out what the taxi driver had said. A big stone wall surrounded what had evidently been the original, rather vast property belonging to the estate. Square in the middle of it sat what was probably once called a mansion. But small, new, modern homes were crowding in on the old house.
Hello.
Mrs. Landfear?
That's right.
I'm Johnny Dollar. I'm representing the Universal Adjustment Bureau in Hartford.
Oh, yes, of course. In connection with the insurance.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, won't you come in, please? Right in here, Mr. Dollar. And do pardon the looks of the place. I'm afraid I've neglected things somewhat since... Well, sit down, please.
Thank you. I hope you don't mind answering a few questions, Mrs. Landfear. But since you've already filed claims on the insurance policies, well, I'll try to be as brief as possible.
I don't want to seem cold-blooded about it, Mr. Dollar, but the initial shock of losing Doug and the loss of the yacht has passed. And there's nothing to be gained in just sitting around feeling sorry for myself, particularly in view of the day-to-day problems I have to face.
What problems, Mrs. Landfear?
To be perfectly blunt about it, financial mostly.
Well, I must say your attitude is very commendable.
It's a necessary attitude under the circumstances. Now, what may I tell you?
If you're sure you don't mind talking about it, I'd like to know all I can about the circumstances surrounding the sinking of the yacht.
Well, I don't quite know how to start. We were on just a pleasure cruise.
You were along on this trip?
Yes. That is up until the day it happened. Oh, why did Doug ever have to? I'm sorry, Mr. Dollar. Well, we were just taking our time, cruising south along the east coast of Central America, doing a little fishing. We'd often taken the sea legs down there.
That's the yacht?
Yes, a motor sailor. Here, on the wall. This is a picture of her. That's Doug on deck.
Oh.
Isn't she beautiful? 68 feet overall, 20-foot beam, solid teak decking, everything.
Yes, that is a good-looking boat.
Terrible to lose something as nice as that, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyhow, along the coast of Nicaragua, Doug decided to put in at San Juan del Perro. That's where the sea legs had originally been built. But the sandbar formations have almost ruined San Juan as a port, so we went on up to Bluefield.
Oh, yes, I understand. That's now the best seaport on the Caribbean side of Nicaragua.
You know that country down there?
Only from what I've read.
Oh.
But go on, please.
Well, while we were there, he had some work done on our radio equipment. We'd had trouble with it on the way down.
Uh-huh.
When the work was finished, of course, he wanted to try it out. He'd found a radio amateur in Puerto Gardo, so he asked me to stay on shore while he and the skipper went out to sea. We kept in contact every few minutes while he headed her out toward the Boldero Islands.
The Boldero Islands. Isn't that where you lost a power cruiser a couple of years ago?
Yes, the Connie O, named after me, and I begged him not to go out there again.
Why, Mrs. Landfear?
Because of the treacherous currents between the two little islands, the great deep that lies between them. A terribly dangerous spot with pinnacles of rock that reach up almost to the surface.
Well, why did he go out there again?
To prove a point. That's all, to prove a point.
Look, I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Doug had blamed the loss of the Connie O 2 years before on poor seamanship by the man at the wheel. He wanted to prove that he could take a boat through there safely.
Oh. Kind of looks like he was wrong, doesn't it?
His last words over the radio were that a rock had torn the bottom out of the sea legs. Oh, Mr. Dollar, before the signal stopped, I could hear the crunching of the hull and the sound of the waters that swept in and over it. It was terrible.
You sent someone out there right away, of course.
Oh, yes, but it was no use. The sea legs was gone. And with it went my husband and the man with him.
And the bodies were never recovered?
Before, When we lost the Conneaut, we had time to put on life preservers, launch the small boat.
I must admit, I wondered how it was.
But when the sea legs went down, there wasn't time, and I could hear it over the radio, and it was terrible. It was terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm all right, John. Mr. Dollar?
I may have to go down there, Mrs. Lanfear, and go through the motions of an investigation, you know.
But then your companies will pay the claims.
I sort of see no reason now why not.
It's terrible to have to be so frank about it. But I do need the money, Johnny.
I was telling the truth. I didn't see any reason why the claim shouldn't be paid. Perhaps Connie Lanfear's explanation of why she wasn't grieving over the loss of her husband was true. But more than once, I wondered if she weren't far more concerned over the loss of the yacht, or about how soon she could collect on the policies. Then that deliberate slip in starting to call me by my first name. Just what are your plans, Mrs. Lanfear?
The plans, Johnny? I don't quite know what you mean.
Well, suppose the companies make prompt payment on these claims. That'll mean $400,000.
Well, really, Mr. Dollar, aren't you overstepping bounds a little bit?
Maybe.
But if it'll make you feel any better, or if it'll help to hasten the settlement, I'll tell you. I'll sell what is left of this property and leave the country.
Leave for where?
Somewhere in Europe on the continent.
Alone?
I beg you. Of course, alone.
Sorry, I just wondered.
Doug and I were too close to even think of my having boyfriends, or whatever you want to call it. The more I think about it, the more I resent that question.
No particular implication meant, Mrs. Lanfear.
Next thing, you'll start implying that the sea legs wasn't wrecked at all, that Doug is still alive somewhere, and that if you can't dig them up out of the sea, your precious companies can somehow contrive to keep the money that is rightfully mine, and get out of paying off on what I thought was a legitimate...
The more she talked, the more I became convinced that something was very wrong about this case. I let her vent her fury on me. It was simulated fury, I thought. Then I called the taxi again and left.
Oh, no, sir, mister. You're all wrong. Them Lanfears, they was thick as two peas in a pod.
Say, tell me, did you ever notice any particular friends either of them may have had?
Well, they was always throwing them big parties. That what you mean? Big society-type brawls.
No, I was thinking of girlfriends for him or boyfriends for her.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. He was her, she was his, and no playing around. Not like most people in that set. And I know. I know everything goes on in Cutchalk.
Back in New York, I found that the best immediate routing to Nicaragua was by plane to Dallas, then to Mexico City, and finally to Managua on the West Coast. I made a reservation on the Dallas plane immediately, that's item 4, and then spent $1.40, that's item 5, on a phone call to Pat McCracken back in Hartford.
Well, sure, Johnny, if you think it's important enough, you have my full permission.
Yeah, I've already made my reservation for the first leg of the trip.
Well, now, don't go overboard on the expense account.
Pat, how you talk.
But you really smell a rat, huh?
Well, look, according to report, the Lanfears were real buddy-buddy. She loved him, he loved her. Yet only a couple of weeks after his death, she's a lot more concerned over the loss of their boat than she is over him.
Oh? You'd think perhaps...
I don't know what to think. Meantime, if you can afford it, why don't you have somebody keep a check on her?
Well, sure, Johnny, but with what specifically in mind?
I don't know. After all, I didn't have any real concrete reason for feeling that this case was fishy. It was more a hunch than anything else, but a real strong one. And I felt that after my visit to her, Connie Lanfear would do something, just what I hadn't the least idea. But whatever it was, I wanted to know about it. It was a couple of hours later that I started to pick up the telephone to order a cab to the airport. Johnny Dollar.
This is Pat again, Johnny.
Oh, hi.
I ordered a man to keep tabs on Connie Lanfear.
Good.
It's your old friend, Detective Randy Singer.
Fine.
Hey, but you know what?
What?
She seems to have left town in a hurry. No trace.
Uh-oh.
You still going to Nicaragua?
Yeah, but keep looking for her.
Right.
Expense account item 6, $475. Taxi and tip to LaGuardia Field, where my ticket and seat reservation were waiting for me. Within a few minutes, I was comfortably ensconced in my seat by the window. The passenger door was closed, and the big plane's engines were warming up for the trip to Dallas. Then suddenly, the cabin door opened again. A feminine figure skipped lightly in and plunked herself down on the seat next to mine.
Well, how nice.
Mrs. Lanfear.
Surprise, Johnny?
here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, the seeds of suspicion really begin to sprout with the help of one of the wildest characters I ever met. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this week's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Give your call to Hartford, Mr. Dollar. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Pat McCracken. What'd you get me out of bed for this time?
I'm calling from the airport in Dallas.
Does that mean you're going on to Nicaragua?
Yep.
All right, then I know why you're calling. The answer's no, we still haven't found any trace of Constance Lanphier. So why don't you come on back here and start from scratch?
Because I have found some trace of Connie Lanphier.
Oh, it's Connie now, huh?
It sure is, brother.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Pat, she just happened to occupy a seat aboard the plane right next to mine.
Look, Johnny, why don't you work on the facts of the case for a change instead of on the woman involved?
Patrick, ever hear of killing two birds with one stone?
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Bluefields, Nicaragua, to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an accounting of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Sea Legs matter. Expense account item 8, 525, late supper at the Dallas airport for Connie and myself during the wait for our midnight plane to Mexico City, which we finally boarded and which finally took off. And on this trip, I learned no more, no less from Connie than I had on the flight from New York to Dallas. For instance...
Doug and I were so close in everything. Same friends, the same interests. That's why we always took the long yachting trips together. Did everything together.
As a matter of fact, I felt that her somewhat overdone assurances of how much she loved her late husband could have been to throw off any suspicion I might have that she'd done him in. Another, for instance...
I still can't get over the coincidence of our both deciding to go to Nicaragua at the same time. But believe me, Johnny, Mr. Dollar, I'm... just as anxious to clear up this whole thing as you are.
The more I thought about it, the more certain I was that it was not just coincidence that had put her on the same plane with me, and the more leery I felt.
I know the country so well, too. I think I told you the Sea Legs was built in a small shipyard in San Juan del Prado. That's south of Bluefields.
Yeah, that's at the lower end of the East Coast, isn't it?
You do know something about Nicaragua, don't you?
Oh, only what I've seen on the maps.
Oh.
Now, let's see. We can get a plane from Managua to the East Coast?
Oh, yes. Nicaragua boasts two or three commercial airlines. I'm sure at least one of them makes a direct flight to Bluefield. That's where we put in with the Sea Legs, you know, before the beautiful thing went down between those awful Boldero Islands.
And took your husband with her?
Oh, yes. Poor Doug.
There it was again. More apparent concern over the loss of the Sea Legs than over the husband she claimed to have loved so much. And still no explanation of why she decided to go back to Nicaragua. Her decision must have been sudden, too, right after I'd seen her at her home on Long Island. From Mexico City, we took a deluxe four-engine plane to Managua. But the last leg to the city of Bluefields was in a two-engine something that looked like war surplus tied together with baling wire. At midnight, we signed into the Providencia Hotel and after a hearty meal, retired to our respective rooms to make up for lost sleep. I had not planned to wake up at 6 a.m., but fate decreed otherwise.
What?
Aha! You're stealing that!
Yeah, sure. Just a minute, I'll get up and open the door.
No. Do not disturb yourself, dear sir.
Huh?
There, you see, there was no need to disturb yourself.
Well, now, just a minute. Who are you?
Oscar Patrick Vladimir Pusquero. At your service.
Oscar Patrick, what?
Hey, you, my dear Mr. Dollar, may just call me Oscar, now that we are working together.
Working together? Whatever
Welcome
you...
Welcome to Nicaragua. And no matter what your needs, I, Oscar Patrick Vladimir Pesquero, will provide them for you. For a small financial pittance, of course. Here, let me straighten your pillow.
Hey, look, wait.
Wait a minute.
Where did you get the key you just used to open this door?
As you can see, Mr. Dollar, I am prepared for everything. That is why I can be of such unestimable service to you.
Oh, now who the devil is that?
The breakfast I ordered for you, of course. Here, my good man. I will take this. You may collect the tips some other time. Get lost.
Is this a gag of some kind?
Mr. Dollar, how can you say such a thing? After I just saved you paying that menial servant a big tip. Here now. Tomato juice, orange juice, cream, chippy on toast, eggs, Benedict lamb chops, scrambled eggs, little sausages, toast, honey, jam, and coffee.
You expect me to eat all of that?
If I am to be of help to you in this important campaign, I must keep my strength up.
Oh, I beg your pardon. And at my expense, of course.
Of course. After all, nowhere else in Central America can you get such invaluable help as I can give you.
Yeah, well, just what gives you the idea I may need your help?
Aha, a good question. Oh, here, let me prop you up on your pillow so that you can enjoy this delectable food.
Oscar.
There you are. Oh, now the chicken beef and toast. It doesn't look so good this morning, so I shall take that. And the lamb chop.
Oscar, will you please?
Now, to business. While you enjoy your breakfast, that is. No. Please don't wait for me, Mr. Dollar.
Look, to begin with, how did you know my name?
Easy. You signed the hotel register.
Okay. But then how did you know?
And who has not heard of the famous freelancing insurance instigator with such a lovely, big, fat expense account, huh? Lucky man.
Ah, so that's what appealed to you.
Yeah, of course. And who am I, Oscar Patrick
Vladimir Pusquero? Yeah.
Exactly. Who am I that I shouldn't learn a couple of tricks or two from such a great man?
Oh, brother, seems to me you've learned plenty already.
Thank you. And that is why I should be of such magnitudinous assistance to you in the feelings matter. For a pittance, you understand. Yeah. Say, $100 a day.
How about 10?
90.
20, then.
70.
40?
Maybe 30.
50?
20 a day and not one penny more.
Sorry, Oscar, but you are not hired.
Oh, Mr. Dollar, you bleed me to the quick. How else could you solve this case without me?
Do you really know something about the sea legs? And how did you know I came here to investigate it?
In the second place, what else would such a distinguished instigator be doing than the case of the American boat lost in the Buldara Islands, especially coming here with Mrs. Lanthier?
All right, go on.
And in the first place, because I know all about it.
All right, Oscar, tell me this. Do you think there's anything phony about the loss of the sea legs?
I am sure of it. It was a crime of the first and second water.
Why?
Because you are here.
You can do better than that.
All right. Because I am always sure there is something crooked going on until the guilty ones are proved otherwise, or until the innocent ones are proved whatever is left, which is besides the point because I was sure of it in the first place.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the first thing for you to do is make a trip to Puerto Gardo.
The last point of contact with the sea legs before she was wrecked.
Exactly. I have a plane ready and waiting for your own personal use.
A plane?
Yeah. How else? 150 miles by ox cart? Or both?
Well, no. First, however, I'd like to contact the authorities here in Bluefields.
Whee! What do the authorities know about crime? Me? I know all about it.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think you do, Oscar. Too much, probably.
Thank you, Mr. Dollar. I respect your high opinion of myself.
All right. I don't know yet what your racket is, but...
That I can make plain to you in two words. Money.
Okay, look. If you can get me a small plane.
Here, good sir, is the address to give to the taxi driver when you are ready to go to the airfield, where I shall be waiting for you.
Oh, not the big airport?
No. That is where the lady, Mrs. Lanfair, would expect you to look for transportation.
Askew, you are the craziest.
Thank you. I knew you wouldn't want her coming along, and if she ever gets in your way during your campaign...
You'll keep her out of my way.
Yes.
At my expense.
What else?
I'll tell you something, Askew. If there is a wrong angle to this case, I can't help wondering if she isn't a part of it.
You read my mind. You see, we are like brothers under the chin.
You say you have a plane all ready to go.
Charter plane.
Then we can be on our way before Mrs. Lanfair knows we've left. Hey, you want to set the tray over there so I can get up?
Oh, yes, of course. I'll set it right over here on the...
Hey, wait a minute. What are you going through my pockets for?
Oh, just accepting a small tip for bringing up your breakfast. Thank you.
If only half of what Oscar said was true, it was conceivable that he could be of help to me. I checked with the hotel manager and the local police. They knew Oscar well and told me that he pretty much lived on the occasional American tourist who showed up. That he acted as guide, chauffeur, pilot, anything for a price. That he could be trusted implicitly by whoever happened to be paying him at the moment. And, which was important to me, he knew the country and its people inside out, was a font of information about anything and anybody. So I decided to let him tag along for a while. The Federal Maritime, the equivalent of our Coast Guard, had headquarters in the harbor area, and I found a captain there who spoke fair English.
I'm sorry, Senor Dollar, but you know as much as we do. We sent a boat, of course, but we find no sign of the sea legs or the poor people who go down with her. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of going up to Puerto Gardo, where she took off on her last trip, you know.
Excellent idea. From there, you can fly out to the Boldaro Islands, where the wreck did occur.
Now, that's what I was thinking of.
But in addition to an airplane, you must also need a pilot and a guide.
You have someone to suggest?
I see. There is but one. Senor Oscar Patrick Vladimir
Pesquero.
Precisely.
Item 9, 20 cents American for a 3-mile ride and an old Model T Ford to the little private airstrip where, true to his word, Oscar had rented an almost brand new 2-place plane for us. He had it warmed up and ready to go.
So fasten your belt, Mr. Dollar, relax and enjoy it and it'll take off.
You sure you can fly this thing, Oscar?
I am the finest pilot in Nicaragua, maybe in the whole world. I'm even a co-pilot.
Just how much is the use of this plane costing me, Oscar?
For me, a special rate, so don't worry about it. Here we go, into the...
How much?
Well, the usual price is $35 a day, American. But me, I always have a deal. And that's on account of I give the field so much business. So now that is settled...
Oscar, how much?
$45 a day. Hey, do you see what a beautiful view we have from...
45?
Look! The bay and the Caribbean on one side, and the flat, empty marshes and plains on the other.
Now, wait a minute,
and
look. If $35 a day is the regular rate, what's so special about $45 for me?
Oh, no, Mr. Dollar. For me. Surely you wouldn't expect the finest pilot in the whole entire world to work for nothing.
Why, you... Okay.
But what took you so long getting to the airfield, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, a couple of calls I wanted to make us all. Why?
Why, you have disappointed me. And all the time, I thought you had the uttermost confidence in me.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
First, you tell me you do not want the lady to know you're awake and up and going.
Mrs. Lanfair?
Yes. And then what happens? You tell her all about it.
What makes you think that?
Why else did she come tearing out to the airfield while I was waiting for you?
Wait a minute.
To rent herself a plane and take off in it.
What?
She took off just a couple of minutes before we did.
Connie Lanfair, chartering a plane. Why? And to go where? And after her offer to stick by me and help me, why would she do it without letting me know? There were a lot of questions to be answered in this case, and most of them to be answered by Connie Lanfair.
Here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, the sea, the rocks, and dear old Mother Nature bring some pretty startling facts to light. And the case takes a sudden twist. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this week's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, notice Harry Kraken, Harry Bartell, excuse me, taking over as Pat McCracken. Also, if you are a fan of The Man Called X, you may find this character somewhat familiar. He definitely has a lot of similarity to Pagan Velschmidt in terms of overall attitude and modus operandi. And that's probably no coincidence, since Jack Johnstone was a director on The Man Called X on CBS. Now we turn to an email I received from a listener, Mark, who says that he had an idea for a friend on their birthday, and I want to see what I can find for old-time radio shows that played on the day of her birth. And then he asked me to identify where he could find programs or a listing of programs that aired on a particular day. And if you do want to find that out, say you want to find out what radio programs are out there that played on the day you were born, the website I would recommend you going to is one I've referred to before. It's radiogoldindex.com. And after you click the start there, there is an option in red to search by date. And they have years from 1922 to 2014. Once you get past the early part of the 1950s, there are less transcriptions available just because there were less programs being made. Nonetheless, that is where I would recommend people to go, is radiogoldindex.com. He goes on to say, I love to hear the backgrounds you give and know you will know where to direct me to find the information. Many thanks for your help and for your great radio presentations on the great detectives of old-time radio. Well, you're welcome very much, Mark. And then we have a review on iTunes. And we have a review from DeBore, who says, one of my favorite podcasts, Adam's voice, has always reminded me a little of Cliff Edwards, the voice of Jiminy Cricket. Well, I like to think I'm your conscience. Thanks so much. Truly appreciate it. I do want to remind you, we're still doing our World War II podcast, The War. And if you want to follow that, go to otrdetectives.com/thewar. Or thewar.greatdetectives.net. And we do have an iTunes link right in the corner. You can click to go ahead and click the graphic to subscribe. But that will do it for today. If you have a comment, send it to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter or Radio Detectives, or become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.